The broadcast of the reading of the Richmond Times-Dispatch on the Virginia Voice is made possible due to the generous support of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Welcome to the reading of the Friday, April 12th, Richmond Times-Dispatch. I'm Alex Childress for the Virginia Voice. We'll have about 25 minutes of front page and local news, followed by about 25 minutes of news from the nation and world. After that, a half hour of editorials, columnists, and letters to the editor from the opinions pages, as well as other news as time allows. Our final half hour will begin with the obituaries, and then whatever else we have time for. But before all that, the three-day Richmond area forecast. Today, a high of 70 and an overnight low of 50. Breezy, with showers around. Tomorrow, a high of 69 and an overnight low of 47. Mostly sunny and breezy. Finally on Sunday, a high of 80 and an overnight low of 61, breezy and warmer. Your readers for today are Dave Winter and Sandy Mayer.
Thank you, Alex. And we'll begin today with an article on the front page, page A1, and it has the headline, Governor, tax hike is not needed. He says three sources will fill budget gap. This article by Dave Ress of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Three big pools of money are the key to Governor Glenn Youngkin's hope he can persuade the General Assembly to go along with budget amendments that remove the legislature's politically risky move of increasing taxes. Youngkin this week proposed a package of amendments to the General Assembly budget. The heart of his amendments is an effort to remove an expansion of the state sales tax to digital services and business-to-business dealings. In the current budget negotiation, we can live with no tax decrease, but we certainly don't need any tax increase. That's our common ground stance, Youngkin told the Richmond Times-Dispatch in a phone interview. We don't want to be raising taxes on Virginians. There's plenty of money in the system. Youngkin has said the legislature's sales tax expansion and its proposed requirement that Virginia rejoin the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative would together mean a $2.6 billion tax increase. The General Assembly, which rejected Youngkin's calls for cuts in income tax rates while adopting his proposed expansion of sales taxes, returns on Wednesday to consider those amendments, as well as scores of others he made to other bills in his record 153 vetoes. Youngkin proposed amendments to 116 bills. Removing the sales tax expansion would mean a $1.05 billion cut in money available to the state for the next 2 years. It comes on top of a $94 million cut in balances carried forward from this year, $24 million of cannabis taxes the legislature counted on, but will not come because Youngkin vetoed the bill creating a regulatory and tax framework for legal sales, and $38 million that will not be coming because he vetoed a proposal to add more tax enforcement officials. In all, that's $1.21 billion less. But Youngkin argues there's plenty of money in the growing Virginia economy with no need to increase tax levies. Filling the bulk of the gap, some $800 million worth, would come from three main sources, Youngkin told the Times-Dispatch. He said they involve using bonds, state IOUs, instead of taxes, to pay for more than $440 million of construction projects and adjusting the timing of accounting for disbursements of projects that have not started yet. Altogether, he said these moves mean the state would need to draw $520 million less from the flow of taxes into the general fund. Tapping the state's literary fund, which is a pool comprising criminal fines, fees, and forfeitures, unclaimed property, and unclaimed Virginia lottery winnings, instead of tax dollars, to cover teacher retirement and school construction costs. Using state funds already deposited with the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission to pay for the bulk of Virginia's share of filling the Washington Metro's financial shortfall. When you think about that gap, which is really about $400 million over a $64 billion budget, that is why there really aren't draconian reductions in anything, Youngkin said. Youngkin's amendments propose financing $200 million of wastewater plant improvements, key to state efforts to clean the James River and Chesapeake Bay, through a bond sale instead of by tapping tax revenue flowing through the state general fund. He proposes the same bond financing approach for $175 million of various projects at state colleges and universities, as well as for $20 million for work at state hospitals, $15 million of work aimed at boosting campus security at Virginia State University in Ettrick near Petersburg, $14 million of infrastructure projects at Norfolk State University, $10 million of improvements at the undeveloped Widewater State Park in Stafford County, $4 million for work at Natural Tunnel State Park in southwest Virginia's Scott County, $3 million for the state's underground storage tank replacement program, $3 million for repairs of the Lake Shenandoah Dam near Harrisonburg, and $3 million for work at National Guard Armories. His amendments also remove some $110 million from the next 2 years additions to the state's maintenance reserve fund, as well as to a pool meant to cover unexpected construction costs and two higher education projects on which planning is not yet completed. I think about it this way, which is there is about $520 million of space that's created because of our movements on capital, Youngkin said. His amendments would remove from the budget funding for projects for which planning is not yet complete. He expects future budgets would include funding for those projects. We are just going to support those when they come back, so we didn't have to cut any projects, which was really important, Youngkin said. It's in the range of $1 billion of bonding capacity every year in the Commonwealth available to us every year, he said. Youngkin said the portion of construction work he is proposing to finance with bonds is still less than Virginia's usual practice before the pandemic. The next step was the $150 million in the Literary Fund, he said. The Literary Fund has $350 million of extra capacity in it right now, and we expect to have it deposited in excess of $150 million a year going forward. Teacher requirements and school construction are the purposes that it was specifically set up for. This is the exact purpose of that fund, and so that's what we're using it for, he said. Using the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission funds for the Washington Metro shortfall eliminates the need for a $98 million draw on the tax-funded general fund, he said. We'll draw that down first because it's the state's money that's there. And then, of course, we'll put in all the extra funds that are needed in order to fully fund the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority needs in the gap year, he said. While the General Assembly cut some $850 million out of Youngkin's proposed spending, he is asking it to restore just $230 million of that. He intends that as a signal he wants to work with legislators on their priorities. The big items he would like to see returned to the budget include $50 million of the $239 million the General Assembly cut from his proposed funding for economic development incentives, and $100 million for food preparedness work. Flood preparedness work. The flood preparedness funds would make up for the money that had been coming from the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative and Interstate Pact to cut carbon emissions. Youngkin pulled Virginia out of that pact, but the budget makes spending conditional on the state remaining in. Most of his other spending amendments to restore his priorities are for small amounts. The larger ones include $85 million to support 21 lab schools, $38 million to update standards of learning assessments, $13 million in state funds, and $12 million in matching federal funds for a Department of Social Services contract to verify applicants' income, $5 million more to help pay for school resource officers, and $3 million for additional prosecutors. The biggest cuts Youngkin is proposing to the General Assembly's spending increases involve tax-financed direct aid to local school boards. Youngkin's amendments propose a $162 million cut to the Assembly's $1.26 billion for at-risk students, offset by a $56 million boost to the $8.8 billion designated as basic aid. Youngkin also proposed a $47 million cut to the $336 million the Assembly approved as state support for teachers for English language learners. In all, taxpayer-funded state aid to local school boards to cover state-directed standards of quality and other incentive programs would total $20.62 billion over the biennium under Youngkin's amendments. That's down from $20.75 billion in the Assembly's budget, but up from the $18.8 billion in the current budget, budget documents show. The legislature's joint subcommittee to study elementary and secondary education funding is to report its findings in November. There's an enormous amount of work going on in the joint subcommittee where the ratios and the way this works are going to get changed, Youngkin said in the interview. But the committee hasn't reported yet, and so we just went back to the current structures for at-risk students, which I fully support. Youngkin added, "We're just going to wait for the report to come back from the joint subcommittee before we tackle what we really will, in my view, I think, in everybody's view, be a very different approach to how we fund our schools, which will be student-centric as opposed to ratio-driven." And that article from the front page carried the headline, "Governor, tax hike not needed. He says three sources will fill budget gap." And it was written by Dave Ress of the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Thank
Sandy?
Thank you, Brian. Continuing on page one, crowd honors canine killed in line of duty. Law officers from Virginia East and East Coast attend service to pay respects. This article was written by Thad Green of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Dateline Crozier. As Amazing Grace wailed in the background and dozens of fellow officers with their dogs at their side looked on in tribute at the Virginia Department of Corrections Academy for Staff Development on Thursday, a packed crowd honored Reven, the canine who lost his life this month in the line of duty. "Reven, you gave your life to save others," said Major Matthew Bernocco, statewide canine coordinator for VADOC. "We can never thank you enough and hope that wherever your spirit is, it's looking down and hearing these words today." Reven, a 5-year-old Belgian Malinois, died April 2nd at Sussex One State Prison while defending a corrections officer, prison staff, and an inmate during a melee. Law enforcement agencies throughout Virginia attended the memorial service to say goodbye to their fallen hero. Corrections Department representatives from as far away as North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, New York, and Connecticut were also on hand to pay their respects. Reven joined VADOC and was certified in 2019, coming from a canine family that included his father, who worked for a police department in Southwest Virginia, and his mother, who worked for the U.S. Secret Service. "We wanted to have a service to pay tribute to this canine who genuinely died saving at least one life," said VADOC Director Chad Dotson. "I'm overwhelmed at the response and appreciative of the fact that the law enforcement community comes together at a time like this." As Special Agent Shannon Pinto of the Virginia State Police played Amazing Grace on the bagpipes, a line of canines processed across Reven's memorial. "Our four-legged partners stand as a shining example of valor and dedication," said Virginia Secretary of Public and Homeland Security Terrence Cole. "They're more than just our partners. They're our comrades. They're our protectors, and they're our friend." At Sussex One on April 2nd, three inmates with MS-13 gang affiliations attacked another inmate in a housing unit, with another inmate appearing to supervise the attack, according to VADOC officials. Corrections officer Carmesha Phillip Fields and Reavan responded to stop the attack, and Reavan was repeatedly stabbed and kicked by the inmates, officials said. Reavan received life-saving measures from VADOC staff, but died at the facility. The inmate who was attacked in the incident was treated for injuries at a hospital and brought back to the prison. The canine unit is very angry and full of sorrow over the events of April 2nd, Berenoko said. According to VADOC, the inmates involved in the attack were from El Salvador and Guatemala and were being held on charges including first-degree homicide, attempted rape, kidnapping, malicious wounding, child pornography, and drug possession. Officials said the four inmates were in the U.S. illegally at the time of their arrests. Philip Fields, a canine handler who has served with VADOC the past 4 years, sustained no serious injuries during the incident, a result of her training and Revan's heroics, according to her colleagues. When emergencies occur, our team responds and takes control of the situation, said Sussex 1 warden Kemsie Bowles. Canine Reavan gave the ultimate sacrifice to protect canine handler Fields and to prevent the incident from spreading, saving a life. At the service, Philip Fields was thanked for her courage and commitment to public service. The other responding officers were also credited for restoring order at the prison. While there were tears in the audience, there were also some moments of laughter as Berenoko recounted Reavan's stubborn moments during training. Berenoko said Reavan was a fun personality who loved the camera and loved people. I think he was training and teaching me to understand how difficult these tasks are that these canine teams go through every day, Berenoko said. At the end of it, I had a great respect for Reavan and the other canines and the craft that they do. No charges have been filed in relation to Revan's death as the investigation continues, but VADOC officials said they will continue to seek justice in the case. The Virginia Department of Corrections will pursue prosecution of these individuals to the fullest extent of the law, Dotson said. We will work hand in hand with the Sussex Commonwealth's attorney, whatever they need, whatever support is necessary to bring justice to Reavan. This front page article written by Thad Green of the Times-Dispatch was titled Crowd Honors Canine Killed in the Line of Duty.
Thank you, Sandy. And our next article also comes from the front page. And it has the headline, Tuition Increase of Up to 4% is Possible. School Expecting $48 Million Rise in Costs. This article by Eric Kalenich of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Virginia Commonwealth University could raise tuition by as much as 4% next year. On Thursday, university administrators proposed a range of options from keeping costs flat to raising it by 4%. The university needs to raise a student's cost for education by more than 2% to avoid cutting the budget, administrators said. VCU's financial picture will not become clear until Governor Glenn Youngkin and state lawmakers agree to a budget for the next fiscal year, which could take months. Now, VCU must wait at least 30 days before its Board of Visitors can conduct a final vote. This year, an in-state undergraduate at VCU pays roughly $30,000 for 1 year of tuition, fees, room and board, a cost that has more than doubled since the fall of 2006, when students paid just $13,000. A tuition increase might be necessary, school leaders said, because the university expects its cost to rise by about $48 million next year. Those costs would pay for maintenance, promotions, state-mandated salary increases, and investments in artificial intelligence and other academic elements. Since the pandemic, VCU has not had an opportunity to invest in its academic future, something the university wants to resume, said David Allen, an associate vice president for the budget. State colleges generally have three ways of bringing in more revenue: attracting and retaining more students, winning more state funding, or raising tuition. VCU's enrollment sprung upward to roughly 29,000 this year after 4 years of declines. Last fall, VCU welcomed one of its largest freshman classes ever, about 4,600 students. The school is expecting another big class this August. Once among the largest colleges in the state, VCU is now dwarfed by George Mason University and Virginia Tech, which have enrollments close to 40,000 students. As is the case most springs, the amount of state funding is the college's X factor. Lawmakers proposed giving VCU an 11% increase in funding, but Youngkin has proposed allotting $150 million for schools that cap their tuition increases at 3%. The governor and lawmakers will discuss the state budget next week, but a final resolution might not come until June. Should VCU choose to raise tuition, an increase of 3% would bring another $12 million to the school's education budget. It would cost each in-state undergraduate student an additional $375. The university's other option is to cut costs. This year, VCU has cut about 5% of its education budget, resulting in the elimination of at least 76 jobs. VCU also proposed raising fees by 4% for in-state undergraduates. This would go toward salary increases for staffers working in the student center, career services, and other parts of the university not paid for by tuition. It would also cover costs associated with the Virginia Military Survivor and Dependent Education Program, which gives free education to the spouses and children of military members killed or disabled because of military service. VCU expects the program to cost the university $15 million next year. The university also suggested raising housing costs by 7% and dining by 8%. VCU's dormitories are generally cheaper than nearby off-campus apartments, said Meredith Weiss, the university's vice president for administration and interim chief financial officer. Two colleges have already announced tuition hikes in the fall. The University of Virginia will raise its tuition 3%, and Virginia Tech plans a 2.9% increase. And that article had the headline, "Tuition increase of up to 4% is possible. School expecting $48 million rise in costs." It was written by Eric Kalenich of the Richmond Times-Dispatch.